Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. My name is Sam Kroll with the North Dakota National Guard's Public Affairs Office. I'm here with a very special guest, Suzanne Richards, from our Family Program Center. How's it going today?
It is going great. How are you, Sam?
Oh, it's fantastic. We're not having to deal with below freezing temperatures. The last 3 days have been wild, right?
Amen. Absolutely.
Are you, you're with Family Programs, and you've been there now for starting 16 years this year, correct?
That is correct.
Talk a little bit about how you got started in that program, or let's say even go before that. How did you get involved with the Guard? Was it at Family Program starting, or?
It was not. Actually, I have three children, and all three of my children were in the Guard. My youngest son happened to be deploying, and there was probably five or six other guardsmen from Washburn that were also deploying. And being a good military mom, I thought, you know, we should try and give them a good military send-off. So I got our American Legion involved and the other parents involved, and we threw a phenomenal going-away party for them at a memorial hall. Probably had 500 people come and attend. Great event. News media was there, and it was just a fun event. And I had a cellular phone company in town. I had been in the cell phone business for many years, so I own and operated a store in town. And my oldest son decided he was going to move back to North Dakota. And I was tickled pink that he was going to move back. And I started just looking to see what kind of jobs were out there for him. While I was looking for these jobs for him, I happened to stumble across this Yellow Ribbon, or what was it? Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. And I looked at that, and it was a lot of what I had just planned this community event. And I'm like, oh, that would be so fun. And on an absolute whim, don't ask me why, but I put my hat in the ring. I sent my resume to them, and they called me the next day and gave me a phone interview, and they said, we think you'd be perfect for the job, because I shared this big event that I had just completed, and I'm like, okay. So they said the next step is we're going to have the National Guard get a hold of you, because it's a contracted position, so they can interview you, and that's the next step. And I'm like, okay. So hung up and went home and visited with my husband, and I'm like, hey, by the way, I know I've got the store, but on a whim, I threw my hat in the ring for this job, and they called me, and they really liked me and want me to go forward. And he's like, well, you got to go for it. And I'm like, I know, but what do I do with the store? And he said, maybe I shouldn't do it. And he's like, you got to go for it. If you don't, you'll never know. So I went for the interview, and a week later, they hired me. I went back and forth on whether I should do it or not. But again, my husband pushed and said, you don't know until you try. I ended up starting with the Guard and kind of did the phone business kind of on the side. So it was kind of crazy. And almost it'll be 16 years this year that I've been doing it. And what I will say about working with the Guard and the families is it is kind of a dream come true, because it's not like it's a job for me. It's like I am so blessed to be able to serve so many heroes. It's one big family, and I absolutely love what I do, and I get a paycheck to do it, so can't win.
It's interesting you say that, too, that you owned a phone business before, because I feel that your position is so keen on communication, and what you did in Washburn directly correlates into that communication position involved with being a part of the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. So that's just kind of a cool correlation. I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but other question would be, was your brother upset when you got a job and he didn't?
With my son, that wasn't even, there was no way he would do that. I was looking at other jobs for him. Sure. This one just happened to pop out, 'cause like I said, I did the event. So Yeah, no, that would not be a job for him. Not at all.
Well, I just could imagine, like, oh, you're going to try to help me get a job, and yeah. Here you are getting your own. Wow.
Yeah, no, he did, get a job, and like I said, I would have never guessed when he came back home that he would also join the Guard, because his sister and younger brother were in, and he was not a fan of them being in the Guard, so when he came back and he told us that he was also going to join the Guard, it was like, way to go, buddy. We're so proud of you. We're mm-hmm. supporting you 100%. So all three kids were in there, and it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. So you get the job with the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. What year was that time frame, if we can correlate it?
That was 2009.
So 2009. When you had started the job, I mean, we had sent some units overseas that year. What was that like? I mean, brand new to the, not Guard necessarily, but to the working force of the Guard, to then have that op tempo affect your day-to-day job.
It was absolutely crazy. Yeah. We had K-412 going on. We had 2nd of the 285th deploying. We had the 188th deploying. We had the, oh, God. Trying to think how many, I mean, there was deployments like crazy. And back then when we did the Yellow Ribbon, we had the pre-event, and then we had two during post-events for the families, and then we had two post-events afterwards. And with all of these soldiers being deployed, it was absolutely crazy. I mean, family programs, I think we had a staff of over 32 people.
Wow.
And everybody had their growing pains, and everybody had their lanes that, people didn't want to cross over the lane. So it was very interesting times, but it was very rewarding times. It was crazy, mm-hmm. though.
How did you stay on top of that kind of schedule? I mean, even now, like, how do you, stay on top of the busy life of managing not just, your daily duties of maybe picking up a deer's ID or whatever, to then managing maybe not what you said used to do, two events, but how do you manage and stay on top of all that?
Well, I guess I have always been a multitasker, and with this position, it just made me a better multitasker. I can look at some of our leadership, our Guard leadership. I learned a lot from them on time management. And, it just kind of learn as you go and, drink from the fire hose. It was absolutely crazy, but it was a great time because I have a great passion for what I do, and I absolutely love being around people. And, you just learn, and I think it helps. If a person was not a multitasker, they could never do it, because there's just so many aspects to every part of the job. Mm-hmm. So
what would you say would be like the hardest, maybe not the hardest, but the thing that causes sometimes the most issues with just trying to stay on top of it all?
Trying to keep track of everything, because you, like I said, there's so many different parts of it. And trying not to fail people, because like I said, there's a lot of aspects of the job, and you have to keep on top of everything, from the phone calls that you get, to the emails that you get, to the people that are coming into the office, to the leadership that's requiring stuff for you to do. And it can be challenging, but over the years, like I said, I have learned a lot, and you just manage. And, sometimes you just have to, a lot of times you just have to set the priorities and start with 1, 2, 3 and just go down the list and check them all off.
Uh-huh. I'm one of those kind of people where I have to write like a sticky note, and I've got like 5 things on it, and my goal is to at least get 1 or 2 of those done. If I get 1 or 2 of those done, I've done a good job. Sometimes, like you're saying, with all the people coming in, phone calls, you get pulled in a lot of different directions, and sometimes it's hard to do one thing.
Yeah, and good minds think alike, because yes, I have little notebooks and I write a lot of stuff in my notebooks, and yeah, I would not survive without them.
Yeah. So you had a team when you came in of 30 people. What's the strength of family programs today?
I think we are down to probably 15, about half.
Wow.
And it's not like things have slowed down.
Sure.
It's just you learn how to just better task everything that you have to do.
Yeah. You guys are still doing so much, not just for send-off ceremonies, welcome home, SRPs, PHAs, but you're also running a lot of fun events locally while soldiers are deployed overseas. What kind of events do you guys run? You were just telling me a little bit earlier about some fun plans you had for upcoming.
Yeah, that's another huge part of the job that I love is planning events. We have a few that we are planning. We are doing a National Guard chili cook-off in the offices on February 20th. We did that last year, and it was a pretty good success. The next one that we have would be, let me think, April, we've got Military Family Safety Night. That's a fun event that we started last year. And what we do with that one is we bring in various agencies from the community, from the fire department to the police department, CST, lots of different organizations that come in and they'll do bike safety. We had Smokey the Bear come in. I mean, it's just a really cool event, and it brought a lot of family, so I'm really excited to grow that event this year and make it bigger. Another one that we plan on doing is I've always wanted to try and plan something for our military spouses, and so May 1st we are going to celebrate Military Spouses Month. We have, like I said, it's still in the planning stage, but we are looking at offering 3 different classes to the families that come in. They can go to, we have one that is meal prep along with grill smoking tips. We have another class that is tips on plants, and along with the tips on plants, we're going to have a plant swap. And I'm really excited that Connie Sprinsonatic and Connie Flanagan are going to be teaching that class. That class is going to be huge because, like I said, they're master gardeners. So very excited that they volunteered to do that. And then we've got another class that is going to be on the art of bread making, because that's kind of the cool thing that everybody's doing now. And then everybody that's coming in, the adults, we're also going to have something for the kids. So the kids will come in and they will do some crafts and they'll do some games. So everybody should have a pretty good night. We're going to, hopefully we'll get that poster up for that one. I'm going to say give me about a month, because like I said, there's multiple stuff going on, but we'll get there with it. So, and then the other one that I'm working on is we partnered last year with the North Dakota Game and Fish. So we had an adventure night, and we invited all the parents and kids to come and do a night of fishing, and we had geocaching, and we had a scavenger hunt and some games and resources. So we'll also do that. I'm just working with Game and Fish to figure out what night in probably July timeframe we'll do something there too. So it's just never ending. We just go 100 miles an hour and, you know, love what I do. And
you're there for the ride and you're steering the ship while you're doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, every day is a gift and every day is an absolute adventure.
I love that. Well, and I was at the fishing event last year and you guys caught quite a few fish. I was very impressed. They do better fishing at their age than I do my entire life. My dad tried to get me to fish. I sucked at it. It was easy for me to get on the boat and just chill and drive them around to fish. I wasn't the fisherman.
I have to agree with you. I was totally impressed with those kids. They did so good, and so I challenge you to come back this year and grab a pole and try it.
See, now my competitive side's coming out. I don't want to out. Yeah. But so you're doing all these events, and, you know, what you had said just before, every day is a new day and life's an adventure. What are some, like, what's the thing that, what's, like, what's your most favorite part about what you do?
I would have to say it would have to be parts, because there's many of them. I love dealing with all of the families that come in and the kids that come in and the veterans that come in to get new ID cards. You always get to visit with them. They'll share their stories and we'll share resources. I also love being able to call our military spouses. When a deployment happens, we get assigned a family member. And so for the whole time of the deployment, we are calling that spouse, checking in on them, seeing how they're doing, building this strong relationship. And I find over the years that, you know, sometimes you're calling these spouses like for a third or fourth time over a year, just like, I've been here a long time, but, and just building those relationships. Like, I can talk to a spouse, and if she's having a hard day, to me, there's nothing better than after I talk to her, I will sit down and I will do a little pick-me-up card, write a little encouraging note in there, send. We've got a lot of resources in our office. I'll find a encouraging book and I'll put little stuff in the book and I'll send it to them. And, you know, there's still spouses that, you know, I did that 2 years ago, and the, people don't forget that. And it's, to me, it's so important to know that, you know, these people know that we absolutely care about them. And, you know, being that my son went through a deployment, I get 110% what it's like for these spouses and their kids to go through a deployment. Same with when I went through, you know, and helped with the Yellow Ribbon event. It's, deployments are really hard. And so I love that part of the job. I absolutely love all of the people that I work with. They are there for the right reasons. They have the passion to serve others, and you know, they have so much knowledge because a lot of them previous military. And I can't say enough about our family programs team. And another part of the job that we get to do is, you know, we work with the volunteers. Volunteers are so important. In the past, FRG groups, we didn't have the communication skills or the technology, I should say, and FRG groups clung to each other to hear what was going on with those deployments. And as you know, you and I know, some of those deployments were very, very difficult and gut-wrenching at times. And it's so that FRG groups, so now they're called Soldier and Family Readiness Groups, but I love to be able to help train them and support all of them. Granted, I don't think the times have changed because of the communication has changed, and that is also a big reason why we do a lot of these soldier and service member quarterly events for the families, because the FRG groups, they typically aren't very active unless there is a deployment. So I love working with the volunteers. I mean, there's just so many things. One of my favorite events is the father-daughter military ball. It is so cool to see those dads and those girls and everybody. I mean, it just lights up the whole room with the father-daughter energy that they have. It's so heartwarming. I also very much enjoy, I've assisted in planning with the Governor's Military Ball. That's also been one of my favorite events. I mean, there's just, man, Sam, there's just so many. I know I'm missing a lot, but that's just a few. But that goes along with, you know, I've been here so long that there's a lot of stuff. So yeah.
Well, and I love what you were saying with, especially the part when you talk about sending notes to people, you know, keeping in touch with spouses. It's such a huge thing, and it just fosters that family. Like, a lot of people think it's like, I mean, I don't know this, but I can only imagine what somebody would feel if their spouse deploys and this brand new person from an office of the guard or wherever called and said, hey, I'm your family. Like, oh, is this for me? Or is this, you know, like, how does that? And the way that you and your team have fostered that family aspect of it, it just fosters the military ideology of we are one big family, like, regardless of who you are to whoever, like, your family at that point. So that's super impactful, not just for them personally, but just everything that we do as an organization as a whole. And that's awesome to hear. One other thing I kind of want to touch on, and you just let me know if it's too much, but you talked a little bit about some of the trying harder times. Would you consider those to be some of the most impactful parts of your career, or what was something that really made an impact in the program, or just you?
You know, we have had soldiers that have lost their lives. It's hard to talk about, but I still have very strong relationships with some of those families. I will forever be connected to the 818th and a lot of those families, a lot of those moms. I still have lunch with. I just had lunch with one of them probably 2 weeks ago. Stuff like that, you go through it with those families, and I can't describe the connection that you have, but even with, you know, the commanders and the soldiers, when you see them, it's an automatic hug and hi, how you doing? And yeah, I can't explain it, but it's a love like no other, because you have that connection for what you went through, you know, and you just empathize with the families that lost the loved ones. I don't know what more to say about that other than it's a forever connection.
And when you say that, I mean, I see it every day. Even when I'm showing up at RJB, I'll walk by your office and all of a sudden you're talking to somebody that, oh, you haven't seen for years. Or there's a retirement ceremony. There's been countless times where, especially in these last couple of years where we've had a retirement, and they said, yeah, Suzanne, like, and the stuff that you've done for them. And I'm going to get teary-eyed even talking about it. But that's what I think matters so much, is that connection part of it. And what you, during the hardest times of it being the hardest times and being there one foot in front of the other, that just creates that family. And that's what the office that you guys work in bring to the table. And it's just a humbling and honorable mission that you guys do. And I just, it's awesome to hear and see. So...
Well, thank you. I like I said before, I am absolutely blessed to be able to be here. It's an honor. It's an absolute honor.
I love it. I love it. So, all right. Let me get my composure back. So the question that I'll kind of just round this one off with. So like we've stated before, it's been 16 years. This year, what has been some of the changes you've seen over the last 16 years? Good, bad, doesn't have to, but what would you say, looking back 16 years from now, what do you think are some of the things that have changed the most?
I personally think our family programs has changed quite a bit. When we started, there were so many growing pains. There were so many of us. We were crammed in offices, and it was a super busy time. We've seen a lot of people in family programs come and go. Some may be a good thing, some maybe not. But I am really, really proud of family programs and how far we've come, because I think it goes back to, you know, people know that we're there for them. We care about them. And I'm really proud that we built our family programs to be that way, because, you know, through the years, it's kind of been up and down. I think the experience that our team has, you know, like Dave Kenny, he has so many years of experience. So many times, you know, if one of our staff doesn't know something, the other one does. Shiloh Wesson, another one, she's got all the experience. Gary Seward, he's been with, you know, in the garden and family programs for probably 50 years. I mean, long time. He's retiring in September, and I'm gonna so miss him, because, you know, he's been around for forever. Amy Sleeth does a phenomenal job. Derek Childs, Katrina, we just have such a great team, and everybody just clicks, and I'm really proud to be a part of that. I think our program director does a great job of leading us, and yeah, I just very proud of where we are with family programs today compared to where we were when we started. We've come a long way. A lot of growing pains, but that's normal, and you do have growing pains. You're going to have ups and downs, and we will with this team too, but I'm just so proud of, you know, all of the team and all of the different programs that are out there that we work with. They are top-notch. The National Guard did such an outstanding job of hiring all the people that they did, because everybody is just so committed, dedicated, smart, and we all work so well together as a team. From Military One Source, or not Military One Source, Military Outreach, to our Child and Youth Program. I mean, everybody just jives so well together, and I'm just so proud to be able to be part of that team.
Love it. Love it. Well, if there's anything else you would like to talk about, I've gotten all the questions that I've wanted to, and it's been absolutely fantastic sitting down and talking to you, Suzanne, about all this stuff. Hopefully it was in the 30-minute plan of your time management stuff. So I can't thank you enough for coming here and sitting down and talking to me. I always seem to always have the best conversations when I stop over at your office. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, who am I going to have on the next podcast? Oh, yeah. Suzanne.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's been an absolute honor, and you know I absolutely enjoy you and your work and everything that you do, and it's been a great conversation, and again, thank you, and yeah,
I love
being here. Thank you.
This will end the podcast here. That was, again, Suzanne Richards from the Family Support Program in the North Dakota National Guard here. If you have any questions or are a family member of a military spouse, or if you're a military member, feel free to reach out to their office. They have so many different things for you to just find out that that's a thing. And then there's just a lot of assistance programs. If you need somebody to talk to, you can always reach out to them. Again, that wraps up this episode, and we will catch you next time.